Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
That's for sure, but not a good night for those on a floating coronavirus petri dish. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, and that's where we're at. A lot of people are worried about the coronavirus, especially here in the United States, because we keep hearing about these climbing numbers, most of them 1,000 deaths in China, which makes sense because this is where it started and this is where the bigger concern is. We'll get into that in a second. But who will be the opponent for this president? Will it be Bernie Sanders? Will it be Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, the former VP, or somebody we have never heard of? Who knows? I don't think the somebody we've never heard of comes into play. Oh, yeah, and then there's Michael Bloomberg, who's spending a ton of money on TV ads, but he's not going to any of this stuff. He's not in Iowa. He's not in New Hampshire, but he's starting to pull into the national polls. In other words, he's starting to poll pretty well. It was about Bernie Sanders, but Pete Buttigieg was part of the interesting story because he was right on his heels. And right behind them, Amy Klobuchar. Remember, these are small amounts of delegates, but delegates you need to get in the race for winning the Democratic nomination. So all those numbers can add up. But what's interesting about New Hampshire and watching after the bungled mess the Democrats had in Iowa over the app and the count and all of that, because if you're campaigning, you want to, I don't care how many delegates, you want to get in front of the mics and say we're on the road to winning the Democratic nomination. So Bernie Sanders won the most votes, but having Buttigieg pull out a delegate win in Iowa was big, and then coming in so close in New Hampshire, and think about Sanders being from Vermont, it's interesting, he's right up there on Sanders' heels, and then Amy Klobuchar, and the way she finished apparently in the debate, makes a big difference. So that's what the Democrats are dealing with. The real loser in this, Uncle Joe Biden. Nothing. Fourth place finish in Iowa, fifth place and single digits in New Hampshire. It looked like he was going to be the one who was going to ring the bell for the Democrats. It's not looking that way now for the former VP. He's downplaying it. He ditched primary night, flew off to South Carolina, projecting that he's in the race for the long haul. But this is a guy who 2 weeks ago polled in the 20s, falls to fifth. So not so sure he's going to be in this thing in the end. And then how is he doing in national polls? He's in a virtual tie with Mike Bloomberg, the billionaire, when it comes to winning over the black voters. And that's part of the key for whoever is going to get this nomination for the Democrats, what happens there. So there's a couple of people that have dumped out, including Andrew Yang. He's out. Michael Bennett, they're out after this, because do we even know who Michael Bennett was? Colorado dude. 4 votes in the final count in Iowa, well below 1% in New Hampshire. No reason to hang around. Done, out, gone. Andrew Yang, people did really kind of recognize him, but he's out. Same thing, not pulling enough numbers. So now more are whittled down for the Dems. Meanwhile, what else is happening in the world that you care about? And I say that this show is all about that. And, of course, the coronavirus scares the bejesus out of all of us, because you hear one thing and they say, oh, Another person is dead. Oops, they made a mistake with the vials that they were marking in San Diego. Turns out someone's positive for it. Oof, we scrambled, the CDC says, and we fixed it, but that doesn't make you feel comfortable, does it? And then the floating barge, the Diamond Princess. What a nightmare for so many Americans. 39 new cases on that boat. The crew members, think about that, delivering food. I think I talked about that the other day. People that are in their rooms are huddled in their rooms and get to go out like every 4 days to get some fresh air. It's scary. But what are they going to do because of the spread, the potential spread? The Japanese initially decided quarantining people on the cruise ship was the best option because of who could be infected. And now they're looking at what do they need to do with this boat. What are they going to do? There are a lot of elderly people on the boat. Get them off safely, offload them. They're trying to figure it all out. Whew. Crazy. And those interior cabins, no windows or outdoor access. So they go on deck for an hour and a half, but they have to stay 3 feet from their fellow passengers. And pretty much stay in the quarantine cabins or suites the whole time. Boy, that's when you're happy that you like to play games and there's like movies to watch. What movies can we watch now again? Do they have anything good on? Is there anything we can watch? What about a good book? They used to make fun of people that dragged their books and magazines with them. Whew. Those are the luckiest people because internet service has been spotty, by the way. The cruise line is providing more on-demand movies, and they have added live TV channels because they're in quarantine. But, of course, people want clean sheets, but they have to change the beds themselves because of the contact. They can't have contact. They're isolated, and it could be spread so easy. Now, here is the good news about this floating nightmare for many of the Americans and the others on board. They do get a full refund for the cruise. That includes airfare, wow, hotel, ground transportation, prepaid shore excursions, gratuities, and other items. No guests charged for onboard incidentals during the added time on board. Oh, that would make you feel good, wouldn't it? I mean, what are they going to do? They have to do this. Even Thailand. Thailand turned away, I say even Thailand, they turned away a Holland America ship. It was scheduled to disembark, but they said, the health minister said, no, thank you. So we're not going to do that. Because, of course, they're worried. Is there any chance that the virus is there? And there were passengers who were going to get off and get out of there, get off the ship, and fly from there, including some Americans who got stuck, and they said they're not going to get off the boat in Thailand. There's this one passenger from Michigan who wrote an email to the Detroit Free Press, a newspaper, and said, "The saga continues. What are we going to do?" And, of course, it's the same thing. They don't have connectivity, the internet, that whole thing. Of course they don't. It's not good. And they're trying to reach out to people, and they can't really get in touch with them. You know, it seems like every couple of months there's some kind of cruise nightmare. Is this the cruising industry's fault? No, because of the coronavirus, but very scary to be in that situation, that's for sure. We're going to put a bow on it all, so to speak, coming up next around the bend. I'll meet you there.
Everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the 3-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. and enter promo code RADIO. You heard right. Proactive MD, plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code RADIO. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code RADIO.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
The wrap with Kate's take.
Yeah, here's my take on the coronavirus. You cannot tell us we should not be worried about the coronavirus. For goodness sake, so many people are distraught over their relatives who are on these floating giant ships that are trapped. So while the rest of us are arguing about the politics of the day, or shutting them out of our minds temporarily, or watching 3 minutes of the Oscars and then talking about it afterwards, or cooing over the Westminster Dog Show's Best in Show Award and the dog name Seba, these people are stuck, people we love who don't know and are scared to death that they're going to get the coronavirus. The numbers keep climbing. Remember SARS? Ooh, you heard about SARS. You hated hearing about those four letters strung together, because every time you heard about the four letters strung together, it seemed to get worse and worse. And here's the deal. China is controlling the virus narrative very carefully. So what can we trust that's coming out of China about the coronavirus? No offense, Mr. Chinese President. I know that everybody's saying that you seemingly really have a lid on it, because you've put a lid on it. You have state-run media. And what you see from that state-run media is visits to several hospitals and masks on and gloves on. But, I mean, you know, here's the deal. It's being very controlled. Meaning what's being said, the copy, what's being produced, what's being released. Of course it is. And then when we're seeing this, what we hear is 1,000 people have died. The epicenter of the outbreak is like a ghost town, virus city. Businesses reopening, but millions are working from home in a voluntary quarantine. They're so scared to walk outside. And yet we keep hearing that, you know, we have a handle on this thing, and there are some good things that are happening. I saw a translation of what was coming out of China where the quote was, good things are happening. There's nothing good about this. The people, I feel for the people in Wuhan. I do. They are heroic because they're getting crushed by this danger. But I don't believe the narrative that is being spun here. You think of SARS, and this has spread. It's like a SARS virus, but they're handling this in a very clumsy, clumsy way. And so many health officials have been suspended, and they've been replaced by national health officials sent in by Beijing. Why? Because they're going to say what they're being told to say. So we're not getting necessarily, I don't believe, truly the true picture of what is happening there and what it means in the United States and other parts of the world. It's very eye-opening about how little you and I and the people next door know about the coronavirus when you have the death toll over 1,000. So what do we know? We're trying to slow it in the U.S. There are corona, however, in the U.S., 13 confirmed. And then the Americans traveling abroad who've been infected with the coronavirus, 24 on the cruise ship in Japan. So the World Health Organization and these United States have declared the outbreak a public health emergency. But they're trying to tell people not to panic. Don't panic. Well, of course, panic is not going to do you any good, but California has more than half of the confirmed cases of the virus in the country, 7. San Diego County, the latest case of the coronavirus was confirmed on Monday. The patient had recently returned from China, held at the University of California San Diego Medical Center, doing well with minimal symptoms. That's the good news. And San Benito County, this is California, for all the Californians that are listening and everybody else, I'm going to California in a week, less than a week now. Husband and wife, both 57. They had been there. They have it. Santa Clara County, they've got a woman, an adult, who's got it. Los Angeles County, they have a patient in a local hospital that's got it. So the common denominator is they did go to China. They were there, and then they came back, and then that's what happened. The first confirmed U.S. coronavirus patient was a 35-year-old man who was seeking treatment at an urgent care center in Washington State. The urgent care center sent his samples to the CDC. They confirmed he had it. And he went into isolated care in Everett, which is about 30 miles, give or take, north of Seattle. And he got treatment in an isolated gurney designed for patients with highly contagious diseases. A robot was actually taking his vitals. He was discharged from the hospital February 3rd. But he's at home in isolation undergoing treatment. And there's no evidence that he transmitted the virus to anyone else. So my take on this is, don't believe everything that you're hearing coming out of China. And don't believe that there isn't reason to pay attention to what is happening here. The airlines were smart. They temporarily suspended all flights to China. The CDC was screening passengers from China at 20 American airports earlier this week. The CDC encourages people to follow flu season protocol. Wash your hands with soap and water, for goodness sake, for at least 20 seconds. Avoid ill people and stay home and avoid public situations if they're ill. A coronavirus vaccine would take at least a year to reach the public. By the way, the CDC, you know, you see people running around in the masks. They don't recommend that we wear surgical masks in public because they say surgical masks are effective against respiratory infections, but not airborne infections. And there it is. It's an airborne infection. That's why it's scary and easy to transmit this thing. So I don't think that we have to necessarily believe that it's a pandemic. But I'll tell you what, the more we hear every day, what we keep hearing is it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And with the vaccines, as fast as they can possibly come up with one, we're still, as you heard, a year from getting that vaccine. So keep your eyes open when it comes to your health, because you're in charge, and looking at what's happening to the people around you and who's traveling and who's coming back from China and all of that in between. The smart thing the U.S. did do was try to really put a lid on the people coming back into the country to test them, to make sure, knowing the possibility of the unthinkable that could potentially happen if somebody was carrying the virus, which doesn't always appear, of course, right away. So keeping an open mind, but open eyes on the possibilities in front of you. And that's why, as I said, this is the thing. We do control our own health and where we're headed with it and our own outlook on what we need to do to protect ourselves. So the deal with the coronavirus is it's in China, a communist country. They do not want a pandemic. They do not want people more frightened than they already are. And all of that information trickles over to us. We're a different country, and we do have infected people. We have to be diligent about who's doing what and what is the latest of what we have found out and how it plays out for the rest of us. I said this before, but I can't imagine being stuck in Japan on that cruise ship, passing the time scared out of my mind in the meantime. Hopefully, they get the all clear here in the next week or so. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In New Hampshire, precincts are continuing to tally results in the first of the nation primary. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has been in the lead.
We have an agenda that speaks to the needs of working families all across this country who in many cases feel that Washington has turned its back on them.
Former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg is promising a big change in the direction of the country.
I would be the most progressive president in the last half century.
According to a CNN exit poll, 62% of voters said they would prefer a Democrat who could beat President Trump, while one-third preferred someone who agrees with them on the issues. In China, the number of dead from the coronavirus has now reached 1,068. In the U.S., 13 people have become sick from the disease. This is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature. Changing the world, one life at a time.
When I wasn't taking it and I was waiting for my operation, I was feeling very tired. Now I'm driving like 11, 12 hours a day. I told you I manage 15 gas stations. And I have so much energy, I even gave some of my pills for my son, and he said, Dad, this is good, so I like it. I'm healing so fast, it's like amazing. My family is so surprised because my wound like closing up and doing so good. So that is working now that I'm starting taking my those fruits and vegetables.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, you can receive a 30% discount and free shipping on your first preferred order of Balance of Nature. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Welcome to this edition of the Author's Corner, Alyssa Kindle. She's written a book called Vermeer Academy, and it's a mystery, and I love mysteries. And I found something out about Alyssa before we went into the interview. We actually talked off the air, and I was a huge Nancy Drew fan. Oh, The Hidden Staircase. That book is so dog-eared in my collection, it's ridiculous. And she, too, is a fan of Nancy Drew, but I've never written a novel that's a mystery, so how cool that she was able to pull from, I think, her love and to be able to pull that together and put together this novel. So, Alyssa, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Kate, for having me. Thank you so much.
So what is it about Nancy Drew that pulled us both in and probably millions of other people?
You know what? I think it was how relatable she was. Because if you think about it, like aside from, you know, her doing these mystery things that she would do, I think it was because she was kind of like almost every other girl at that time. Like, and I think what really helps people like something is that it's relatable to them. And that's what I remember the most about Nancy Drew is how it's just, she was just like a normal girl besides the fact that, you know, she would get into these things, solve mysteries out, kind of like Scooby-Doo and the gang. It was sort of, I guess it was just relatable at that time. That's what I think gets people to like something, is that they relate it to themselves or they relate it to something that happened in their lives. And I know for me, that's what gets me to be interested in something, is when it's relatable to me or something that I can relate to that I have experienced. So that's what I believe is probably what got people so interested in Nancy Drew, anything with Agatha Christie. Because, I mean, it's interesting. And I think that's probably what got people interested in it.
Yep.
And I think that's what would get people interested in Vermeer Academy as well. It's has relatable things in it. The people, like the things that have happened in there, it's probably people that experience some of that stuff that's happened in there. So they're probably, it's easy to relate to.
I like that. So it's relatable, and I think you're absolutely right. That's part of the key draw to people reading novels. So tell us about writing this mystery. Why did you decide you were going to do that?
Well, I've always had a vivid imagination. When I was in high school, I was never like a part of the popular, clique. I was just sort of there. I was just kind of like the, just sort of like in the background. I wasn't a popular kid, like I said. And I just was sort of going through the motions of teenage life and high school life. And I was trying to figure out, what kind of story could I, because I like to tell stories. I love to tell stories. So I'm like, what kind of story could I put together, but also make it interesting? And I'm like, well, you know what? I'm like, I really, really like murder mystery. And I think that really gets people interested, is when the mystery happens, because you don't know what's going to happen next. That's what gets people reading, because it's like, well, I got to read the next chapter because I need to find out what happens. Like, this has to end somewhere. And I think that just my love of telling stories and my interest in murder mystery is kind of where this story came from. And the challenging years that I had in high school helped me write this book, because some of the things that happened in this book, some of it actually did happen to me in high school. So like I said, it's relatable. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that some of the things in there happened to. I'm pretty sure most everyone in high school probably experienced what Sophie Gribbsey is, one of the main characters. I'm pretty sure what's happened to her, other people have had happen to them. So I'm pretty sure it'd be easy for people to read, young adults, of course, or anyone who loves a murder mystery. Doesn't necessarily have to be a young adult, but that's sort of how it sort of, I guess, was planted and kind of grew from there. I started working on that ever since I was in high school, like, so probably in 2013, I started to sort of put this story together. I didn't even publish it until 2017. So I was working on it for, almost five years. So, and I...
And you fleshed the characters out, it sounds like, by waiting that amount of time, you really got to live with, breathe, et cetera, the characters. Tell us a little bit, and I think you've told us some, about the plot. We don't want to give everything away, because who doesn't like
right.
a cliffhanger, but give us a little snippet. You talk about Sophie G and what happens with her in this book.
Well, Sophie Gribbsey, she's a, it's based in Connecticut, and Sophie Gribbsey, she is very sassy, that's very, very prominent throughout the book. Like, she has a very sassy attitude, and I think that the sassiness and, like, you know, her kind of whatever, I don't care attitude is, I guess, what gets people kind of like a comedic relief sort of thing in the midst of this murder mystery. And she was going to Vermeer Academy. That was like, the high end high school. Everyone, who was rich went there. Just like everybody who thought they went, all the people from like high schools that were around mine thought that we were all rich, everyone who went there, because we were surrounded by all these mansions, and that was farther from the truth. But I picture that as fact, that everyone who went there was rich. So I put that as a fact in Cyber Mirror Academy, that everyone who was going there had, you know, a lot of money. So, and she was going there for a while, and, you know, she met this guy. His name was Slider Thomas. And, you know, she thinks that he's all that. He's so gorgeous. And, you know, it's not, and I know it sounds like the typical cliche teenage story, but it actually really isn't. That's what I wanted to do. I didn't want to make it cliche. I didn't want to make it, you know, the typical teenage story, because it really isn't. But you have to read to find out exactly what happens between them. But it's not what you would think. And their relationship isn't the way that people would imagine it would be in a story like that. It's a little different than, I think, other teenage stories. But in the midst of this town, a girl goes missing, and she's been missing for a while. And it's this detective, her name is Detective Roy, but that's her last name. She just goes by Roy. And she has to figure out where this girl went. There's really a lot of clues to find out where she went, and they don't know a lot about her disappearance, besides that she was a cheerleader and she disappeared one night and never came home. And you know, she interviews all her friends, and all her friends kind of have different stories, and are all kind of adding up, and they don't know. Roy's kind of confused, because she said, well, that doesn't make sense. If they were all with her, how do they all have different stories going on? It's just, it's just kind of a mystery in that sense, where she just doesn't know where to go from there. And I think that in the story, you can kind of see exactly how she kind of puts the pieces together to sort of, It doesn't get concluded at the end per se, but it is interesting nonetheless to find out exactly how she puts these pieces together to figure out who exactly may have, may have more knowledge than they are letting on about where Morgan is. And that's the name of the girl. Her name is Morgan Stadney, the girl that's missing. And it's from the same town that Sophie is from. She's from the same town. And but they're from two different schools. Because Sophie had to go to another school, Carnegie Hall, because her mother gambled away all the money that she needed to send. Yeah, so she got sent to a different school because she doesn't have the money to keep up with the Mirror Academy. So she had to get plopped in the Carnegie Hall, and Sophie had to tag along with her weird, quirky cousin Maribel, and Maribel is just so weird and quirky, and it's just, I think it's fun to have Maribel around because she's just so awkward, and it's just because of things that she does, something that she said, it doesn't make sense, but Sophie just kind of says whatever because it doesn't, she knows she doesn't make any sense, so right. It's just, I might as well just tag along with her, why not? I mean, I'm in the school I don't want to be in. Only friend I got is my weird cousin, so I might as well just tag along. Yeah, so, and
you've pulled us into it. You can't tell us any more details, or you're going to give away
the
story. So,
I know.
Everybody listening, what you need to do is go pick up the book, and then you can find out the rest of this. Perfect for any young adults, but really anyone who loves a mystery. Think of Nancy Drew, Dean Koontz. Think of Stephen King. We're both fans of Stephen King's as well. Pick up a list of the book, Vermeer Academy. You can get it at Amazon.com or wherever great books are sold. Thank you so much for sharing what the story is about, why you wrote it, and all of that. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Kate, for having me. Thank you.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet.
Scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on the plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results vary. Exclusions apply.
Contacts and glasses are such a hassle. I'd love to finally get LASIK, but...
I'm going
to
stop you right there. If you want LASIK, then the LASIK Vision Institute has officially taken away everything standing in your way.
Isn't LASIK expensive?
Not at the LASIK Vision Institute. We're offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. See for free if LASIK is right for you by texting DO88 to 350350.
But I'm really busy.
A text only takes seconds, and the LASIK procedure typically only takes 15 minutes. And best of all, most patients can get back to work the following day.
I had no idea.
The LASIK Vision Institute uses the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision. We've performed over 1.3 million procedures. That's experience you can trust. And we're offering 20% off our already low-cost services.
What's that text again?
Text DO88 to 350350. That's DO88 to 350350 to schedule your free consultation today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Wow, we had a terrific conversation off the air, and it's such a pleasure to welcome to the show. She's in the virtual green room right now, Elizabeth Cook, and she's written a book called Shadow Box, and it's starting to make some noise again. As somebody who's an author, I know that when you put a book out there, many times the shelf life is really forever. That's one of the beautiful things about writing a book, a novel, or whatever genre you pick. So, Elizabeth, a.k.a. Buffy, as her friends affectionately call her. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, I'm very happy to be here.
So, first of all, let's go back to Shadow Box, and what was it that inspired you to write Shadow Box?
Actually, my granddaughter, who came, I'm quite old, and my granddaughter came to see me, and we had this conversation about the sexual mores of the times that we live in, and they're so different than they were when I was a young girl. And the whole point of Shadow Box is the way the mores have changed, how much more blatant sexuality has become in the public eye. And the Me Too movement is such an important thing right now. And that really was the inspiration of it.
Wow, good for your granddaughter. So now that you've piqued, I'm sure, the curiosity of many of the people that are listening to this interview, tell us a little bit about the book. Give us a synopsis of what is it about.
Well, it's my story, although it's fictionalized. I didn't want to put her names or, you know, the various names in it. But it's a story of this older woman's life and the way the sexual encounters and problems and predations that she has gone through in the 20th century, really, and into the 21st century. And she's had several husbands and many adventures, if you will. And just the way the attitudes have changed as the years went on. And at the end, her granddaughter, although it isn't actually true, it happened to the granddaughter of a friend of mine. She's taking testosterone and she's changing her sexuality and she's going by the name of Luke instead of her girlish name. And it's a whole different world, and there's a whole question of is flirtation dead? Because when I was young, it was such fun, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was not scary. Some of it, of course, was. There have always been predators and among men and women. But it's sort of a journey, if you will, from World War II to the present time.
Well, so in telling us that story, how do you feel about that? I mean, flirtation is dead. That's interesting, and you're right because of now trying
you
to.
Men are emasculated in many ways. I think they can't whistle at a girl on the street. There was a story in the New York Times of this girl walking along with an umbrella, and it was furled. And a construction guy whistled at her, and she went over and beat him over the head with her umbrella, saying, harassment, harassment. And a whole bunch of other women came over and were attacking this man. The police came in, and he said, I thought I was giving her a compliment. And I remember as a young girl being whistled at on the street by construction, nothing lewd. And I would be very pleased, you know. I'd think, gee, I look pretty good today, you know.
Yeah, so certainly the rules have changed, and how people accept certain things and what is overstepping for some and isn't for others. I love that your granddaughter influenced this. Was it hard for you to write it? What was it like writing the story?
And no, it's not hard for me to write, no. And my granddaughter is not named Luke, but she is pansexual. And she is bisexual and very having a very happy time herself, I think. But you know, one of the things that I've been concerned about is that there's a hypocrisy to me in some women because, you know, they wear the padded bras, they wear Botox, you know, there's a bra for your buttocks now, a padded bra, so you have this big rear end, and then they stand out there half naked and then cry harassment. And yet, aren't they provoking it in a way?
Yeah, so interesting. Yeah.
I mean, there are two sides to this, I think. You know, it's gotten so blatant. And, you know, all the subtlety, all the fun of it is gone. And I'll tell you, I'm very glad I'm not young.
Boy, that isn't the first time that we've heard that, certainly even on this show, so many people that we span the demographics, but so many people that call and would say the very same thing that you're saying as well. What was the best part about writing this? Was it fun for you?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Writing is fun for me. It's a great release. And as an older person, I've done a number of books, and it's always a... It takes me into another world and keeps my mind going, and it's fun. It's fun to write. And this had been bothering me. I mean, her the opening of the book is the first conversation with her as an older woman and a granddaughter, and where she tried, I said, you know, how do you meet people? All this pansexuality, and you can be with anyone. Isn't there any jealousy involved? Isn't there? She said, no. If it's a soul connection, and I mean that's a little naive, but maybe she is naive. I don't know. But it was a great a journey, as I say. And
I like that. It was a great journey. And you were able to weave that into a story. What do you hope people take away from reading your novel?
What should they take away? I think they should look at what their own attitudes are. In the sense, I would say I'm a feminist, but I'm not a militant feminist. And I think there are many versions of feminism, and I think it's kind of fun because I think it's more of a woman's book than a man's book, and I think a woman can inspect her own militancy about it and her own energy in terms of feminism, and certainly with all the horrible Epstein and Weinstein and these predators who have been so blatant and so horrible to women. Of course, I think poorer women and women of color certainly have it much worse than white, regular women. And they are much more vulnerable. So I don't know. I think it's important to inspect one's own attitudes, if you will.
Yeah, boy, that is a perfect message, perfect place to end this and look at labels and how we describe things and where your place is in all of this. And that's what's so wonderful about the novel and the story that pulls you.
Well, also the at the very end, it's men power is their ultimate aphrodisiac.
Yes.
And it is. I mean, that gives them the right, the sexual rights, if you will.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's we're fighting against that.
Exactly. We don't want to spoil the book for everybody. I want to tell everyone to pick it up. Shadowbox, Elizabeth Cook, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.